This week's parsha is Parsha's Akev, and we'll start at the beginning of the parsha, chapter 7, verse number 12. The verse says, V'hoyu talbi, Akev, because, or in reward, that tishmon, that you are going to hear, es ha-mishpotim o'ele, these ordinances, then ushmartem, and you'll safeguard, v'asisem o'isom, and you will perform them, meaning you will do them, then v'shomar Hashem elokech o'lecha, Hashem will safeguard to you as a breeze, the covenant, besachesed, and the kindness, asher nishba la'avoisecho, that he swore to your forefathers. And in pasuk number 13, the pasuk continues. It says, "Vahevcha, he will love you; ve'rachecho, and he'll bless you; ve'ribecho, and he'll multiply you; uverach privitnecho, and he'll bless the fruit of your womb; ufriad moscho." And the fruit of your land, the goncho, the siroishcho, veitzorecho, your wheat, your wine, and your oil, shgar alefecho, veashtro istonecho, the offsprings of your cattle, and the flocks of your sheep, alhu adama on the land, tashnishbala voisecho lo sezloch, that Hashem swore to your forefathers to give to you, baruch tiyah mikolo amim, you'll be blessed from all the nations, lo yevecho, there won't be in you akor, an infertile male, ve'akora, an infertile female, uvemtecho, and in you animals, meaning that no animals of yours are going to be infertile. And then the pasuk continues and gives us more blessings, but we are going to focus meanwhile on what we just mentioned, which are the first three psukim of the parsha. The first Rasha in this week's parsha asks the question, why is it written in the language Akev? It'll be in reward of listening, or because you are listening. The word Akev normally is translated as a hill, meaning the hill of a person is called the Akev of the person. Then why is it written here, V'hoyu Akev Tishmo? It should be written, V'hoyu Im Tishmo, it'll be that if you are going to listen, Es ha-mishpotim o'ele, these ordinances, and you'll do them, then Hashem will give you the reward. Why is it written if the language Akev, which is translated if, but it also denotes the hill? Therefore, Rashi brings down for the Medrash Tanchuma, Im ha-mitzvos akalos, if the light's mitzvos, she'odom dosh ba'kevav, the person threshes with his heel, tishmon, you are going to listen, then Hashem will give you these rewards. We have two questions that we have to understand in regards to this Rashi. First of all, what is the meaning of light mitzvahs? What mitzvahs are considered hard and what mitzvahs are considered light? And the second question that we have to understand is, what does it mean, mitzvahs she'odom dosh ba'kevav, a mitzvah that a person threshes with his feet? Normally it's translated as mitzvahs that a person does not take seriously enough. What kind of mitzvahs are these? In truth, the Kli Yakor answers this question. The Kli Yakor explains that these mitzvahs are the chukim, are the kris, mitzvahs that we do not have any reason for it. For example, shatnez, that you're not allowed to wear wool and linen together. Seemingly, there is no reason for it. Then these mitzvahs we do not understand. They are mitzvahs she'odom dosh ba'kevav, that a person takes lightly, because since he doesn't understand the reason, then he tends to treat it lightly, not treat it with such importance as other mitzvahs. Yet, if you are going to keep those mitzvahs that a person normally threshes with his heels, then Hashem will give you great reward for that. And with this answer, the Kli Yakor also answers a very strong question that he asks, because since this is a continuation of last week's parsha, and last week's parsha on chapter 7, verse number 11 says, "Veshomarto es ha-mitzvah, you should observe the commandments, es ha-chukim, and the decrees, es ha-meshpotim, and the ordinances, asher anochi metzavcho hayom la'asoisom, that I command you today to do them." And right afterwards it's written, "Vayu ekev tishmon es ha-meshpotim o'ele," it will be if you are going to listen to these ordinances. The Kli Yakor asks, what happened to the word chukim? What happened to the decrees? Therefore, the Kli Yakor says that the decrees are alluded by the word Akev. Because since Akev denotes mitzvahs that you treat lightly and you step on them, those are the chukim, those are the kris that you don't know the reason for them. Therefore, those are the mitzvahs that you may not do. And therefore, the word chukim, the kris, is kind of alluded in the beginning of the verse. Therefore, it's not written clearly the word chukim. According to the Kliyakar, when we say mitzvah kalo, it's a light mitzvah, it doesn't mean the category of mitzvah, it just means it's a mitzvah that people take lightly. As a matter of fact, that is also the language of the Medrash Tanhuma, which the Medrash Tanhuma writes down, mitzvahs kalois she'ein bnei adam mashgichim bohem, that the light mitzvahs that people do not take care of them, umashlichin oiso tachas ikveihem, and they throw it under their heels. Which means that people do not take great importance in this mitzvah, which fits very well with the idea of the Kli Yakar. The only question that all the Meforshim ask is that since the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Tes 39b, writes down the name of Rabbi Yaakov that says, Schar mitzvah Bahai Almaleke, that Hashem does not give rewards for mitzvahs in this world, then the Meforshim ask, how is it possible that Hashem is giving rewards for the mitzvahs in this world? True that all the Meforshim answer that one of the reasons that Hashem gave us chukim, decrees, mitzvahs without a reason, is because Hashem wants to give us reward for the mishpatim, for the mitzvahs that we understand. Meaning that if you only do mitzvahs that you understand, then the attribute of justice comes in front of Hashem and says that we do not deserve such a great reward for the mitzvah that we did, since we only did the mitzvah because we understood it and not because Hashem commanded it. For example, do not steal, that is a mitzvah that we understand, and we did not steal not because Hashem told us not to steal, we did not steal only because we understood it. Therefore, in order for Hashem to give us greater reward for the mitzvah that we understand, for the mitzvah of not stealing, Hashem throws in the midst of mitzvahs some chukim, some decrees that we have no idea why we do it. And since we do the chukim, since we maintain the mitzvahs that are decrees, then Hashem has the excuse to tell the Midas Adin, to tell the attribute of justice, that it is not true that we didn't do the mitzvah only because we understood the reason for it. As a proof is that when we don't understand the mitzvah, we still do it. That means that we did the mitzvah because Hashem told us to do it and not because we do not understand. Therefore, Hashem is able to give us a great reward for the mitzvahs of Mishpatim because there is chukim in the midst. But still, the question is that since Rabbi Yaakov does not differentiate between chukim and Mishpatim, between decrees and ordinances, and Rabbi Yaakov says that all mitzvahs Hashem does not give reward in this world, then how is it possible that in regards to these mitzvahs of chukim, Hashem should give reward in this world, as it's written in verse number 13 and 14, that Hashem will multiply you, you'll have a lot of cattle, nobody's going to be sterile. How is it possible that we should get reward for those mitzvahs, since we have the rule that schar mitzvah bahai almalek, that Hashem does not give reward for mitzvahs in this world? The Divrei Yoel wants to answer this by first introducing the idea of why a mesis madiach, somebody who entices another person to go astray, to leave Torah mitzvahs, why the Torah was so harsh in that person, that the Torah writes down on chapter 13 that v'loy sochas ein cha'olof, that you should not take pity on him, v'loy sachmol, you should not be compassionate, v'loy sachas ha'olof, you should not conceal him. Meaning that the Torah was very careful that we punish the person that is trying to entice you. So much so that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chavtes Omet Aleph, writes down in the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Omar Rabbi Yonason, that ain toyanim lemesis, that we are not supposed to argue in defense for somebody who entices somebody else. Meaning, normally when a person is being judged, then we are supposed to argue in the favor of the person being judged. Meaning, if we find a matter to defend them, we are supposed to defend them. But in case that somebody is enticing somebody else to sin, even though we have a good argument to protect them and to defend them, nonetheless, we do not argue for somebody who is enticing somebody else to sin. And the Gemara says, how do I know that? The Gemara says that Omar Rab Simloi says that we learned that from Nachash HaKadmoni, from the original snake that caused Adam HaRishon to sin. Before Hashem cursed the snake, theoretically the snake could have had a valid argument not to be cursed, that it is not to blame for man eating from the fruit, because since there is a rule, Divrei HaRav, the Divrei HaTalmud, when the rabbi says something and the student says something, that normally we're supposed to listen to the rabbi. And here the snake had the argument in regards to Adam, that Hashem told Adam not to eat from the fruit, and Hashem is a rabbi, and the snake is the student, and the snake said to eat from the fruit, then whom should Adam listen to? Clearly Adam should have listened to the rabbi, which is Hashem, and not eat from the fruit. And since we see that Hashem did not allow the snake to argue that, and Hashem punished the snake and cursed it, therefore we learn from here that when somebody is enticing somebody else to sin, then even if we have a valid argument in order to defend that person, we do not defend that person. We do not give this argument. Then the Divrei Yoel wants to know, why is it that the Macy's is treated so harshly? Especially troubling, asks the Divrei Yoel, what is the difference when somebody entices you to do something wrong, or when your evil inclination entices you to do something wrong? Theoretically, the person who's enticing you is doing the job of the evil inclination. And yet, when your evil inclination entices you to do something wrong, we do argue for you. Then why don't we argue for the person who is enticing you to do something wrong? Why don't we defend them? The Divrei Yoel wants to answer with the Or HaChaim HaKodesh, which he says are the words of the Zohar on Bereishis chapter 37, verse number 21. There the Torah is dealing with Yosef's encounter with his brothers, that when Yosef went to see what the brothers are doing, the brothers plot to kill him. And then in verse 21 it says, Vayishma Reuven listened, Vayatzileu miyodom, and he saved them from their hands. Vayomer, he says, Lo nakenu nofesh, that we should not kill him, meaning that Reuven heard what the brothers are saying, that the brothers want to kill him. Therefore, Reuven decided that he is going to save them and told them not to kill him. And the verse later on says that Reuven said that he should throw him into a pit. And then in verse number 24, it says, Vabor reik, that the pit was empty, ein boy maim, that there is no water in the pit. And Rashi brings the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph 22a, where there the Gemara brings down the name of Rav Tanchum. Since it's written that the pit is empty, automatically I know that there is no water. Why does the Torah have to tell me that there is no water? Rav Tanchum answers that the Torah wants to tell you that there is no water, but there is snakes and scorpions, meaning there was no water in the pit, but the pit had snakes and scorpions. Then the question begs, if that is true, how is it that Torah says that Reuven is saving Yosef by throwing him into the pit when the pit is full of snakes and scorpions? And they obviously are going to kill Yosef. True that the simple interpretation is that Reuven did not know that the pit has snakes and scorpions, but the Or HaChaim HaKodesh brings down, and the Divrei Yoel says that this is also the words of the Zohar, and I'm going to quote the Or HaChaim HaKodesh. The Or HaChaim says, "Nefesh she'adam bal bechira ve'rotzoin," that since a man has free will and free choice, ve'yochel laroik mishelo nischayev misa, and he could even kill a person that was not liable for death, meaning that somebody that in heavens was not liable for death, nonetheless, a person who has free will is able to overcome that and kill that person. Whereas an animal could only do what Hashem tells him to do. Therefore, Reuven devised a plan that he should remove Yosef from his brothers who have free will, and they'll be able to kill Yosef even though it wasn't previously decreed by Hashem, and he decided to give Yosef faith to animals because animals will only do what Hashem tells them to do. According to this, the Divrei Yoel explains that this is the reason why amesis, why somebody you entices, is much harsher than your evil inclination. Because since your evil inclination is doing the message of Hashem, and he's doing exactly what Hashem tells him to do, then the evil inclination is not going to do more than Hashem tells him to do. But since a human being has the power to go more than Hashem wants him to do, therefore, when a person entices somebody else, it could be that the person was going to be able to control his evil inclination, but now that he has the other person enticing him, that becomes too strong for the person to control, and therefore the person sins. As a matter of fact, we know that the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph 52a, writes down that Kol HaGodol Mechaveroi, that anybody who is greater from his fellow, Yitzroi Godol Mimenu, then his evil inclination is greater than him, meaning that Hashem puts the evil inclination for the person equally to his greatness, because Hashem wants a person to have free choice, free will. If the evil inclination would be less than the person's level, then you wouldn't have an inclination for evil. And if the evil inclination would have been stronger than the person's level, then the person would tilt towards evil because his evil inclination is so great. And again, he would lose his free choice. Therefore, Hashem makes sure that the evil inclination is balanced to the greatness of the person, to the goodness of the person, in order for the person to have a free choice. And now that this other person is enticing you, he's throwing that balance out the window, because he has the power to entice somebody even though it wasn't decreed by Hashem. Therefore, we do not defend this person because he's doing a worse job than the evil inclination, because the evil inclination won't go higher than you could tolerate, whereas another person could go as high as he can. Therefore, says the Divrei Yoel, when a person entices somebody else, we do not argue for that person, we do not defend him, because he's doing a job that is even stronger than the evil inclination. True that eventually your evil inclination causes you to follow the person who enticed you, but now that evil inclination together with the person is much stronger than you could bear. Therefore, that person who enticed you is guiltier than the evil inclination that you have. According to this, says the Divrei Yoel, it could be that when somebody is able to withstand somebody who entices you, since he is going above and beyond the call of duty, he's doing something that he normally would not do, and now he's doing above the call of duty, therefore it could be that in that regard, the person gets the reward in this world. Meaning that the mitzvah itself that the person did, he does not get the reward in this world, because even chukim, even decrees, you get the rewards in the world to come. But since every time there is a chok, there is a decree, there is always somebody telling you why you're doing this, why you're wasting your time. As a matter of fact, Rashi in Bamidbar chapter 19, verse number 2 says, Zois chukas atoira, this is the decree of the Torah. Rashi writes down, why is this called the decree and why is it called the decree of the Torah? Rashi says, because the Satan and the nations of the world, they ask the Jewish people, what is this mitzvah and what reason you have to do it? And obviously, since it's a decree, we have no answer to it. Therefore, we have to resort to the answer that Hashem says, that gzeroi melefonai, that this is a decree in front of me, eloch reshus laharer achareo, that you have no right to reflect upon it or question it. Then we see that chukah is usually something that the nations of the world, that somebody is going to try to entice you not to do. And since you are able to overcome it, you are able to do something that normally you shouldn't be able to do. As we explained, that when somebody entices you it is very hard to overcome, for that overcoming and performing that decree, you get your reward in this world. And the Divrei Yoel brings the Itav Leif, where the Itav Leif brings a proof that whenever you do something that you are not required, or you do something to beautify the mitzvah, then you get the reward in this world. And the proof is from what Rashi and Tosfos bring down in the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Tes Amud Beis 9b. There the Gemara is discussing how much a person should spend in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Zekei Livam Veyu. This is my God and I will glorify Him. Meaning that we have a mitzvah to get something nicer. How much extra money should a person spend for that mitzvah? For example, you have two Sefer Torahs. One Sefer Torah is nicer than the other. Then the Gemara says that a person should spend a third more of his money in order to perform the nicer mitzvah and buy the nicer Sefer Torah. Then the Gemara finishes and says, "Bemarava Amr Mishmei de Rab Zeira," that in Eretz Yisrael they say in the name of Rab Zeira, "At Shlish Mishaloi," that up to one third he's supposed to spend of his own money, and he won't get the money back because that is the mitzvah of Zakei Livam Veyu, that this is my God and I will glorify Him, which means that I will make it nicer. Mikan ve'elach, from then on, Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is from Hashem, meaning that Hashem will repay him. Rashi says, Masha Yosef behidu yoiser al shlish, whatever he'll spend beautifying more than a third, Yipara loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chayav, Hashem will pay him while he's alive. And Tosfos says, that oichel peiro is bal mazeh, that eats the fruits in this world, v'keren kayemes lo elohim haba, and the principle remains for him in the world to come. Meaning that since he went above the call of duty, then Hashem gives him the reward for what he went above the call of duty in this world. Up to a third is required to do because we have a mitzvah to beautify the mitzvahs, as the verse says, Zakei Livam Veyu. But past a third, then it is from his own money, he's not required. In that case, Hashem will pay him back in this world. So we see that when you do something that you are not required, Hashem pays you back in this world. And here too, whenever you are performing a decree and you have people trying to convince you not to perform, enticing you not to do, and you still do it, then you are able to overcome something that normally you shouldn't have to, because normally you only have to overcome your evil inclination and you don't have to overcome somebody enticing you, somebody telling you why you're wasting your time and doing this mitzvah. Therefore, for that fact that you performed this chok, this decree, and you went above your natural state, your natural ability to overcome your evil inclination, in this case Hashem will give you the reward in this world. So it comes out according to the Divrei Yoel that when the Kli Yoker says that mitzvahs kalos, easy mitzvahs, is discussing chukim, decrees, it means to say that the decrees you get the reward in the world to come, but the fact that you overcame this blockage and you performed the mitzvah, even though there are people enticing you not to do, for that you get the reward in the world to come. The Dazakirim Baal Toises brings that what Rashi says, that mitzvah kalosh, adam dosh ba'kevav, a light mitzvah that a person tramples with his heels, the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos takes it literally, and the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos asks, what kind of mitzvah do you trample with your heels? What mitzvah you do with your heels? Dazakenim Baal Tosfos answers, kegon shiluach akein, for example, sending away the mother bird, because since the verse writes down in Dvarim chapter 22, verse number 6, Ki ikore kan tzipoy lefanecho, that if a bird's nest happened to be before you, that means the Gemara says that prat limezuman, that it can be ready in front of you, meaning that you can't prepare a bird's nest and send away the mother bird to take the eggs. That is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only if you happen upon it. That means that you have to walk around, and when you walk around, you will find it. Therefore, this is a mitzvah that you trample with your feet, that you do the mitzvah by walking and you do it with your feet. That is what the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos brings, and then the Dazakenim Baal Tosfos also says that mitzvah tzitzis also, that sometimes your talus falls on the ground and your tzitzis are dragging on the ground and you step on it, if you are careful not to step, that is mitzvah kalas sh'odom dosh ba'kevav, a light mitzvah that a person tramples with his feet, and if you perform the mitzvah tzitzis, then Hashem will give you the rewards. But I have a question on this Dazakenim Baal Tosfos, that he says that Shiluach HaKein, that sending away the mother bird, is a mitzvah that you trample with your feet, and this is what it is referring here in the verse, Vayu Ekev Tishmeun. It will be that if you do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein with your feet, if your Ekev, with your heel, then Hashem will give you all the rewards that's written in this parsha. The problem I have with this Dazakenim is that the Gemara in Kedushin, the Aflametes on the base 39b, where the Gemara we brought previously, there the Gemara discusses specifically that there are two mitzvahs that the Torah writes down, Lemanit Avloch Varach Toyomim, that it should be good to you and you should have long days. And the two mitzvahs are Shiluach HaKein, sending away the mother bird, and also Kibud Av Va'em, honoring your father and mother. In those two mitzvahs, Hashem clearly writes in the Torah the reward that it is going to be good to you and you're going to have a long life. And the Gemara tells a story where a father told the son to go up in a tower and bring the chicks, and the son goes up in the tower and sends away the mother birds and gets the chick, and when he comes down from the tower, he falls and gets killed. The Gemara there asks, where is the promise that it is going to be good to him, and where is his long life? The Gemara answers that it must mean that it's going to be good to you in the world to come, and you are going to have a long life in the world to come. From here, the Gemara brings a proof that Schar Mitzvah Behai Al-Malek, that there is no rewards for mitzvahs in this world. Then according to this, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, you don't get reward in this world, because if you'd have gotten reward in this world, then this person would have not died. Then the question is, how can we say that when the verse says, V'hayu Ekev Tishmeun, it will be when you're going to listen, and according to the Dazakenim, it is specifically referring to the idea that when you're going to do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, of sending away the mother bird, because you are doing the mitzvah by walking, and then the verse writes down that you are going to get the rewards in this world, as it says that Hashem will bless you, Hashem will bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your animals, is going to bless the fruit of your ground, your wheat, your wine, and your oil, which these are all physical blessings, when clearly, in regards to Shiluach HaKein, the Gemara says, we learn that Schar Mitzvah Bahaya Amaleke, that there is no rewards for mitzvah in this world. Then how can the Dazakenim bring as an example of V'hayo Ekev Tishmiun, it will be the reward that you are going to listen, Shiluach HaKein sending away the mother bird? And the question that I have applies also to the Divra Yoyal, where the Divra Yoel just explained that according to the Kli Yakor, we get rewards for Chukim because decrees are such a harsh thing to overcome. Theoretically, this idea will only work according to one opinion in Brachas, Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, 33b, because the Gemara there brings that a Oimer, somebody who says, Akan Tzipor Yagyura Chamecho, that your mercy is so great that you worry about the bird's nest, meaning that you worry about sending away the mother bird. That shows the great kindness and mercy of Hashem. The Gemara says, Meshat kinoisoi, we make him quiet, meaning we tell him not to say it. The Gemara asks, why we tell him not to say it? The Gemara answers, Plige ba'treya moira b'marave, there is two different opinions in Eretz Yisrael why we're not allowed to say that. Chad Omar, one says, Mepnei shematil kina b'masa bereishis, that we're not allowed to say that because we cause jealousy in creation, because since Hashem only was kind to the mother bird, then other creatures may feel jealous, and therefore we're not allowed to say that because we invoke jealousy in other animals. The Chad Omar and the other one says, because he assumes that the reason we send away the mother bird is because of kindness. And it's truth, this is not kindness, this is just a decree of Hashem. And Rashi explains that this is a chok, this is a decree, where the Satan asks what is the purpose of this mitzvah. And we do this mitzvah because Hashem told us to do, and that is the only reason we do that, not because it is kindness on the animals. Then, according to Rashi, Shiluach HaKein, the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird, is a decree. Now, if Shiluach HaKein is a decree, then according to the Divrei Yoel, who explains the Kli Yokor, we should get the reward for Chukim, for decrees, in this world. Yet, specifically in regards to Shiluach HaKein, the Gemara in Kedushin writes down that Schar Mitzvah Bahai Al Malakah, that there is no rewards for mitzvahs in this world. Then we see that even Chukim, even decrees, we have no rewards for mitzvahs in this world. In truth, this question is only according to Rashi, because Rashi explains when the Gemara says that Shiluach HaKein, standing the mother bird, is a gzeira, is a decree, Rashi clearly writes down that it is a chok, a decree. But according to other interpretations, the interpretation of the Ramban and the Maharal, then in truth, Shiluach HaKein, it's not a chok, it's not a decree. Because the Ramban says that the reason for Shiluach HaKein is not because Hashem has mercy on the mother bird, is because Hashem wants to instill in us mercy. Meaning that Hashem wants us to learn from what we do for us to have mercy. But not that He has mercy on the mother bird. Because if the reason would be that Hashem has mercy on the mother bird, it would be better not to touch the egg altogether. But the fact that Hashem makes us take the egg or the chick is because Hashem wants us to learn the idea of mercy. Then according to the opinion of the Ramban, could be that sending away the mother bird, it's not a decree. And the reason why we quiet them is because he is giving the wrong reason for sending away the mother bird. He is saying that we send away the mother bird because Hashem is kind over the mother bird, but in truth that is not the reason. Hashem wants us men to learn kindness, but not that Hashem is kind over the mother bird. And according to the opinion of the Maharal says that the reason we send away the mother bird is not because of mercy, it is because it's the attribute of Hashem of justice and truth, not mercy. Then according to these ideas, could be that sending away the mother bird, it's not a chok, it's not a decree, because there are reasons for it, but a true chok, a true decree, we get the rewards for mitzvahs in this world, and as the Kli Yokor says, then it's written, Vayu Ekev Tishmeun, it will be as a reward that you will listen, that is referring to decrees. And since when you do a decree, you have to overcome the enticement, the blockage of the other nations, then you will have to go above yourself. Therefore, you get a reward for the mitzvah in this world. The Divrei Yoel gives a different interpretation, and he incorporates what the Azakein in Baal Tosfos explains, that it has to be mitzvahs that you do with your feet, and also the idea of what is a light mitzvah, and he explains that this is referring to the idea of prayer. And he explains the following, that the Gemara in Brachas, the Vav Amed Bey 6b writes down, Amar Lehau Merabonon Merabbi Barabai, that rabbi said to Rav Bibi Bar Abai, and some say that Rav Bibi said to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. What is the meaning of the verse in Tehillim that says, Krum Zulus Livnei Adam, that Krum Zulus for people? He answered, Elu Dvarim She'omdim Berumo Shel Olam, these are things that stand at the pinnacle of the world, Uvnei Adam Mezalzelim Bo, and yet people treated lightly. Rashi explains what is something that goes up to the pinnacle of the world. Rashi explains kegon tefillah, for example, prayer, she'oyle lemala, that goes up to heaven. And the question is, why did Rashi pick the idea of prayer that goes up to heaven? We know that any mitzvah that we do with the proper intent, it goes up to heaven. As Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Amad Beis 50b brings, that Rava says that we have a contradiction. The verse in Tilem, chapter 57, verse number 11, writes down, Ki Godel ad ashamayim chazdecho, that your kindness is as great up until heaven. And then the verse on Tehillim, chapter 108, verse number 5, writes down, Ki Godel me'al hashamayim chazdecho, that your kindness is above the heavens. Then, how can we reconcile both verses? Does Hashem reward from the heavens or from above the heavens? The Gemara answers, Kan be'oisim nishma, that the second verse, where it says that the rewards come out from above the heavens, is talking about when you did something with the proper intent. The Kan be'oisim shelo lishma, and this, that from the heavens is going to come your rewards, is talking about when you do something with not the proper intent. So we see that when you do something with the proper intent, any kind of mitzvah, your reward goes above the heavens, because that mitzvah reaches above the heavens. Then why does Rashi take as an example only tefillah, only prayer? Any mitzvah that you do properly, it reaches above the heavens. Then Rashi could have said, any mitzvah that we do lishma. And we can't say that the reason that Rashi wrote this is because Rashi sees that people do not take prayer seriously, because we see that people do take prayer seriously. Then why does Rashi take specifically this idea of prayer? The Divrei Yoel wants to answer this based on the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed Beis Amed Beis 32b. There the Gemara says, Omar Rabbelazar says, Miyoim Shecharav Beis Hamikdash, from the days that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Ninalu Share Tfila, the gates of prayer have been closed. Because the verse in Echa, chapter 3, verse number 8, Lamentations 3, verse number 8 says, Gam ki ezak vashaveya, though I would scream and plead, Shosom Tfilosi, he shut out my prayers. The Gemara continues, Va'afal pish share tefila ninalu, that even though the gates of prayer have been closed, nonetheless, share dima lo ninalu, the gates of tears have not been closed. Shenema, because it's written in Tehillim chapter 39, verse number 13, Shima tefilosi Hashem, hear my prayer Hashem, v'shavosi azino, give ear to my outcry, v'eldimosi al techrash, to my tears do not become deaf, which means that Hashem listens to the cries of the Jewish people. And clearly we are talking about proper prayers, because if it's not a proper prayer, why would you expect Hashem to answer the prayer? But nonetheless, even if you give a proper prayer, it is not answered because the gates of prayers have been closed. The Divrei Yoel asks, if that is so, why do we have now a requirement based on the pasuk in the Shema, in the Devarim, chapter 11, verse number 13, where we say, Ula avdoi bechol levavchem, that we have to serve Hashem with all our hearts, and the Gemara in Tainus Daf Beis Amud Aleph writes down, Ezehu avoid the shebelev, what is considered work of the heart, and it says, see tefillah, that this is prayer. And the Rambam passes this, la'alocha, that this is one of the positive commandments that a person is required to pray, when we are saying clearly that even if you pray, your prayers are not answered, because the gates of prayers are closed. Then why do we require to pray? What good is it that a person prays? The Divrei Yoel explains that in regards to prayer, what happens is the following. When a person prays properly, his prayer stays in heaven, but his prayers are not accepted yet. Only when another person will cry, then the gates of tears will open, at that point the prayer that the person does will go up. Meaning that your prayer does not go up directly to Hashem, it stays in heaven, and after somebody cries in his prayer, then it is able to pierce through the gate of tears, then your prayers go in through the gate of tears. Therefore, he explains that Rashi, when Rashi said that this is something that stays on the pinnacle of the world, meaning that stays in heaven, that means prayer, because your prayer stays in heaven. When you do another mitzvah, that mitzvah goes straight up to Hashem, and it doesn't stay in heaven. It goes directly to Hashem. But when you pray, your prayer stays temporarily in heaven until somebody cries, and then your prayer goes in. Therefore, since people know that the prayer is not answered right away, it stays in heaven waiting for somebody to cry, to pierce the share, the moes, the gates of tears. Therefore, people are not as careful about them, because they don't see any immediate results. Because only when somebody will cry, then it will pierce the gates of tears, then the prayers that you prayed properly that are in heaven will go through. So therefore, Rashi gives the example specifically prayers, because prayer is a mitzvah that stays in heaven, and yet people treat it lightly since they don't see any immediate results. Therefore, says the Divrei Yoel, when it's written here, mitzvah kala, a light mitzvah, it's referring to the mitzvah of prayer, which is a light mitzvah, which means that people treat it lightly. And he explains that this is also a mitzvah, she'odom dosh ba'kevav, that a person threshes with his heel. Why? Because since in regards to prayers, the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Yud, Amud Beis, writes down, V'omar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Rabbi Yosi, the son of Chanina, said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that Hamispalel, somebody who prays, Tzorech she'echav nesraglov, is required to align his legs so he looks like an angel, Shenemar, because it's written in regarding to angels by Yechezkel chapter 1, verse number 7, V'ragleim, regal yeshora, that the legs were a straight legs, meaning that they were aligned together. Therefore, we require to align our legs when we say the Shmoneh Esrei, the silent prayer. We see, therefore, that prayer is a mitzvah that you do with your feet. And also, the Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim Tzadik Hei 95 brings down, in the name of the Rama, that when you pray, you require to walk 3 steps backwards and 3 steps forwards. Then we see that prayer is something that you do with your feet. Then the Divrei Yoel says that it is a mitzvah kala, it's a light mitzvah, because people don't see immediate results, because your prayer stays in heaven. She'adam dosh ba'kevav, that person does with his feet. And Hashem Yisburach should help that our prayers should be answered. Then we'll get all the rewards that is written in this parsha, and we'll also merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera.